session number 11961, rule 4.
And you give it.
Mr. Ralph Miller, Rule 4. We were talking about your time on the Western Front in the Somme area.
Yeah.
You mentioned your pet rat. Were there a lot of rats in the trenches?
Well, of course, the crumbs and that used to be encourage them, you know. Biscuits and stuff like that, and you generally get a stray rat or two, you know, coming in along the parapet and
to try and steal your food.
Well, yes, that's right. Well, they used to come for some food more of it. This one used to come regular at about 11 o'clock, and a bit of the army biscuit, you know, and you're only going to go like that, and he'd be gone like a shot, and he wouldn't come back until the afternoon. He'd come back in the afternoon, and you give him a bit more, you know.
So you weren't frightened of him at all?
Oh, no. Don't be frightened. He's frightened of you more than anything, but it was amusing. I say that. You should occupy our mind to a certain extent, you know, when we got nothing else to think about.
Was it? How did the weather affect you? Was it very cold and wet when you first got there?
Oh, don't mention that. The weather was awful. Of course, it was winter months.
How did you try and keep warm?
Well, by cuddling yourself up and doubling yourself up and putting your head between your knees and your
hands. Hands over your face.
Yeah, taking your own breath to keep you warm. You've got grey coats and that, but let me just say, once they got wet, they was wet.
Did your ground sheet help at all?
Oh, no. No, the ground sheet wasn't much good. The ground sheets weren't used a lot. What we used them for, mostly, was if it rained, we'd sew them so we could push it out with rubber, you see.
Put it over yourself?
Yeah, put it over yourself. There's nothing to lay on to keep you warm.
Was it very wet? I mean, I'm thinking of whether you got any trouble with your feet in the water.
Oh, dear, aye. Well, once your putties got wet, you couldn't get them dry. It was water all the time.
Did they use whale oil at all? Were you given whale oil to rub in your feet, or had that not come out?
Whale oil? No, we never had no whale oil, but we had a sort of a solution as we put on our feet, but
you don't know what it was?
No, and it didn't make no effect, really. You know, no difference.
What about, what was your daily routine like? You know, how would the day, did you have a stand to in the morning, say, start from there?
Oh, well, of course, yes. You'd have a stand to.
What would everybody do?
Your orders would all be read out to you, you know. Your different guards, you see. 300 and perhaps 3 off, you know, and that was upon the firing platform.
What did you do when you were sentry? Would you actually look over the top, or would you use a periscope, or how did you go?
You got to be very careful. If you were lucky enough to get a periscope, you'd use it, but if you didn't, you'd keep your head down.
So how would you watch? I mean, when you were on sentry, how would you go on watching?
Oh, well, of course you go through the night, you know, and the day just the same, just a little bit of peephole raced out in the clay. There was just so you, of course, if you make one little hole, you can see a big circumference when you look through it.
Yeah. So, did you have any trouble keeping awake when you were on sentry duty, especially at night?
Oh, no trouble keeping awake. You couldn't go to sleep.
So, what else would you do in the day if you weren't on set, you know, when you'd done your sentry?
Well, you just chat to one another. And,
what sort of things did you talk about? Would you talk about the war, or what would you talk about?
Oh, where the shells was going over, you know. I say, well, if my name's on this one, you can have it. Full of, you know, we used to pass these remarks.
Was it? I mean, did you do a lot of joking in the front line?
Well, we had to. We had to keep things away, sort of business. Of course, a good many was very depressed and that, you know. But we used to say, go on, rub and cheer up. My name's on this one that's coming over, you can have it. Yes, we used to pass remarks like that, you know.
Did you get on well with the people in your platoon and in the company?
Oh, yes, we were all comrades together.
Do you remember any particular characters, you know, particular friends or characters?
Oh yeah. I remember one. His name was Mush Wilcox. We called him Mush. He was a jokeable fellow. He used to keep us alive at times, you know. He was a very, very comical sort of fellow. You generally get one out of a few, don't you? Yeah.
Oh, any other friends or people you remember, you know, from the trenches? Anybody else you remember in particular?
Oh, well, of course, we was all friends as a football team.
They were all with you?
We was all friends, yeah. Of course, the shells used to keep coming over. When we bombarded the encampments, as we thought...
I'll come back to that, because I'm going to ask you about that. Did what about the NCOs? How did you get on with that and the sergeants?
Oh, well, that was all right. That was all right. Well, they had to be all right.
Why did they have to be all right?
Well, the thing is this, they wouldn't get nothing done for them if they wasn't all right. Well, they'd say, we always, every man for himself. Yeah.
So you weren't frightened of the army discipline with the, you know, the NCOs?
Oh, no. No. And just simply come around and tell you what they want you doing and you fall in with the others and get it done. And,
what about the officers? Do you remember who was your officer?
Oh, Lieutenant Dennis.
Lieutenant Dennis.
Yes, he was a real lad. He was when it's come the order, when the whistles blow. He says, now, lads, he says, over the top as quick as you can. He says, and knock bloody hell out of you, you know. He was the first over the parapet.
Did you admire your officers?
Oh, we had to, that was good.
Was he your platoon commander or your company commander, Dennis or Dennison?
Oh, he was a company to, what's it, Montgomery was a commander.
What was he like then? That's General Bernard Montgomery.
He's the Royal Warwick. He was in the Royal Warwick.
Was he in your battalion?
In the 14th War. Yes.
What did you think of him? What do you remember of him as a young officer?
Very good. He was as game as the rest.
What was so good about him?
He was with the lads and stood up for the lads. And did everything he could for the lads. That's the way he won Alamein in the desert. He wouldn't make an attack until he'd got everything he wanted.
And he was known as an officer that cared about his men in the First War.
Yeah.
Do you remember any stories about him that might show what he was like?
Yes, he did get he got wounded once, and a couple of fellows went and grabbed hold of him and took him to the base, you know, took him away from the firing line. Yes, he was a man of grit. Full of grit he was. Well, whatever come his way, he'd never go, you know. He wouldn't hesitate.
Who was your platoon commander?
The platoon commander. He was only a corporal, you know. There's no commander of a platoon.
What about the colonel? Do you remember him, or did you see what job?
Colonel Douglas. He was another good fella, Colonel Douglas. He was for the men, you know, as far as he could be. Of course, there was a limit to everything. You couldn't expect wonders out of nothing, you see. But he was all for the men, and no bunkum about it.
Now, we were talking about, you know, what happened during the day. Did you find it boring at all? I mean, did you get fed up and bored?
We got up to the point that we thought the quicker the bloody whistles go, for us to go over the top, the better. We always said to one another, well, it's a 2-to-1 chance that we either get bowled over or we get wounded and go home, one of the two. That's all we used to bother. But we got so bound off with the waiting and the weather, and you can't really explain what it was like, you know.
Was there much shell fire in your area before the attack?
There was fire. Bombarded?
No, before the bombardment, was there much shell fire on your lines from the Germans?
Yes, it was. Occasionally you'd get one or two shells come over, or you'd get what they called a mini work, you know, a thing that went like, you didn't know where it was going to fall. But we still crack the old joke, you know. Who's this one for?
Did it frighten you, really, though?
Well, it would have been done if you'd let it, but you got browned up to that extent that you didn't care what happened.
Now, you were a crack shot. Were you used for sniping at all?
Yes.
Could you tell us about sniping? How would you go about it?
Well, I was only used for sniping for about a fortnight. It's a thing as you set yourself aside and you save yourself a little space, not too much, because you've got a good view of something, and the least thing you see move, you let go.
What sort of space would you aim at? A gap?
If you've got a little gap about as square as a matchbox, you've got a good view in front of you, so that.
And what would you be aiming at? What sort of space would you aim at?
You'd be aiming at anything that bloody moved. Sometimes you'd strain and strain as you see tree trunks, you know, they've been blown, shattered, and you look at that and you can see it move, you know, and the more you stare, the more it moves. And but you've got to be very careful, you see, because when if you let go at a thing like that, there might be one of their snipers watching where the watcher comes from and have a go at you. But you can see things move in the dark. I don't know if you've had an experience.
Would you get many targets? Would you know if you'd hit anybody or anything, or would you just shoot?
When you shot,
I mean, would you know if you'd hit anything or anybody?
Oh, well, of course. Well, better you take for granted that you've aimed and you'd hope that it done its job. You can easily tell if you don't get any, trouble after. If you get trouble of a sniper firing occasionally, and you just mark and weigh up what position he comes from, and then you fire at that. If you don't hear no more after that, you know you've done your job.
And were you successful like that?
Well, once or twice, you know, because you can't guarantee. It might be that he changed his duty or something like that and got on to another job.
So you can never be certain?
Oh, no, no. Well, you can't in the dark.
Did you find sniping a bit cold-blooded? I mean, some people didn't like the job at all. I mean, how did you feel about it?
I had just a bother. It's just the same. If you're on sentry. If you're doing 300, you've got a live cartridge up the spout, and if there's anything moving, you're going to let go. You've got to treat things as they come.
What about machine gun fire? Did you have a lot? Was there a lot of that going on? I mean, before the attack.
The Lewis and we had about four different manufactured machine guns, but let me say, they used to put them in the positions where space, you know, and then fire that way and that way, so any advance they got to come through the fire.
What about hand grenades? Were you issued with them?
Oh, very late. We didn't have them too early. What we had was the Mills' hand grenade. Later on in through the war.
But did you actually get them issued before you went over?
No. We didn't get them issued until we was... what would I say? Well, we were in the trenches quite 3 or 4 months.
So you got them just before you were wounded?
Yeah.
Did you get trained in them?
Eh?
Did you get trained in how to use them?
Well, of course, there was nothing to do. There was just a pin to pull out, and you held the lever down, and when you loosened it, it flew up, shook the detonator, and it exploded. It explode about 3 or 4 seconds after you threw it, you know?
Did you ever throw one yourself?
Oh, yeah.
How far could you throw them? Because they're quite heavy, aren't they?
Well, you send them over.
Like a cricket?
Yeah, like a cricket ball. Well, you had to get it over the parapet, see? And throw it over the top. Yeah. You can throw them about 20 yards. Something like that. Get a good swing on them.
Now, what about during the day when you weren't sort of doing sentry or chatting? Did they have any other jobs you had to do during the day about just maintaining a trench or anything?
Because there was always patching up and repairs to be done. Yes, we had plenty of that. We used to do it for our own good.
Now, what about at night? Did you ever do any wiring parties or covering parties? Putting the wire up or repairing the wire?
No. Jerry had done all that for us, and we very well knew it too, because it, with all the bombardment, they never destroy barbed wire with a bombardment.
So you didn't put British wire up, you relied on the German wire?
Oh, well, of course it was already there. The Germans would put that out.
What about patrolling? Did you ever go on a patrol or in No Man's Land?
Oh, no. No, but there was one or two lads used to crawl out to see what they could discover and come back with different reports, but...
You never did that?
They were never successful. Well, you know, they... more or less it's been, just a matter of about 500 or 600 yards and... I crawled out and see what they could say. Go far enough to think, well, that's enough, I'm going back.
What about, were there any raids, either from them or you, before the battle started?
Oh, well, we had one or two throwing the hand grenades and chuck it over and try to cause a bit of mischief. But... We weren't very successful.
What about that? Let's go on to the big attack then. Do you know what day you attacked? Were you wounded on the day you attacked?
Yes, yes.
Could you tell us a full story? What was the bombardment like? Then let's go to that.
The bombardment was on for a full week, day and night. Shells coming over and what did. The bombardment.
What was it like to be there?
Well, you can imagine. There were just shells whizzing over your head and you didn't know where they was going to fall or as I say, we used to crack the jokes. My name's on this way, you'll grab it.
This was mainly the... Did the Germans counter-bombard then, a lot?
No. No, they hung quiet. They left us to do all the bombardment.
What was the noise like during the British bomb? What was it like?
Long bit of the railway station with a train coming through it. Like an express train coming through a railway station. Oh, terrible noise. You got no rest, you know.
You couldn't sleep during it?
No.
I mean, they say the ground. Did the ground shake with the thing? Or what was it? I mean, is that an exaggeration?
Well, no, it's not an exaggeration at all. It's lots of things used to shake, and lots of the muck used to fall down too when they was bombarded. You know.
Now, what had you been told about the attack? Had you been briefed or specially trained for it?
They told us. They told us that where the whistles went, what they wanted us to do was to over the top as fast as we could get, make as much noise as we could make, and storm the enemy positions.
And do you know what those positions were called?
Well, they were called the attack. The attacking position.
No, I mean, was there a specific name of the German trenches you were attacking?
Oh, well, no, just the area where you were.
Which was Delville Wood, or...?
Yes, Delville Wood. But when we say they say Delville Wood, there was no wood there. On the tree stumps, the branches were all blown up, and you not only got barbed wire... You've got branches of trees to climb through as well. We was cut up before we got out.
Did you actually have any training sessions, you know, on a practice ground with marked out trenches before, or were you just briefed?
Just briefed.
And what kit did you take with you over? I mean, what were you carrying when you went over No Man's Land?
Well, you carried your rifle, your bandolier full of bullets and... Yeah.
But what else did you carry on your shoulder? You know, you, did you have your pack and...
Well, your pack and your valise, you
was
know.
It your full kit you took over, or just your small kit?
Well, what you stood up in, real enough. You know, your grey coat, you got all them heavy clothes on, because it was winter, see? And you got your bandolier and your rifle.
Did you have to carry any picks or shovels or anything?
No, we had what they call a little trenching tool. it was a sort of handle about that long, with a blade on one side and a little sort of spike on the other. On the little end, was it? Very useful.
So what do you remember about the actual attack then? Tell me as much as you remember about it.
Well, as much as I remember about it is a matter of a bombardment and all of us going over the top.
You said your officer spoke to you. What did he say?
The whistle blowing. Well, of course, he told us, lads, we will over the top as soon as you can, make as much noise as you can, and get stuck into you could just imagine where you got hundreds of fellas shouting and swearing and going over with fixed bayonets and the rest of it, shells are busting here and there and everywhere, until it suddenly happened that a shell must have blasted, and I knew no more.
Hang on a bit then. Were you scared before you went over yourself?
No. I was pleased to go over.
Did you want a blighty wound? I mean, did you want to get out of it?
Yes, that's what I went over for.
It was more that than wanting to get at the Germans.
Oh, well, it was doing your bit and hoping for the best, you see.
Did you find the stuff you carried made it difficult? Were you able to get across No Man's Land quick, or were you held up with the weight?
We had no chance to get across No Man's Land. There was too much barbed wire and too much tree.
Do you know the date you went over the top?
Yes, it was July the 1st or the 2nd.
It was actually on the first day
the 2nd, yes.
First or the 2nd?
I can't remember nothing from then, from when the attack was made.
Were there a lot of casualties while you were in No Man's Land?
Oh, probably. There was 10 out of 12 of us got killed.
10 out of 12 of the football club?
Yes.
Did you know that while you were going over the top?
No.
You found that out later?
No, I didn't know that until I'd come home to Brum. I was unconvalescent. I was able to go round the parents of my friends and I heard the news from them.
Were you hit fairly early then, as you went across No Man's Land by this shell?
Well, what I had was what they call shell blast. In other words, punctured lungs. That's through the blast from shells, you know. But of course, there were so many falling, as you can't definitely sort out which one you shared.